Chapter 1. To say she was extraordinary would not do justice to the fair-haired, angelic creature who danced through the manicured and meticulously planned garden which ran behind the stone manor house. She was the very breath that caused the flowers to sway and the boughs to sigh. Wherever she walked, skipped, or ran along one of the pebbled paths, anyone who witnessed her meander about found they held their breath involuntarily until she passed. It was as if they knew, subconsciously, that something or someone quite remarkable had just crossed paths with them. And in the face of one so other than themselves, nature asked a still and immovable reverence be shown. In her wake, she always left a feeling of contentment and a smile lingering on each person's face. Alexandria, or Alex as her parents called her, was indeed a miracle child. Her mother, Lady Juliana, had given birth to two boys, Wallace and Connor, just 2 years apart, and then lost two more babies within a five-year period. She and her husband, Lord Errol Fitzgerald Groban, had resigned themselves to the fact that they were not to be blessed with any more children. They settled into a comfortable pattern with their sons, and were beyond shocked when Juliana's doctor confirmed 3 years later that there was to be another chance, perhaps her last, to become a mother again. Lady Juliana received the best care, and after 9 months, a daughter came into the Groban family. They all doted on her and vowed to watch over her, her older brothers more than anyone else. Through the years, Lord Errol served in various ambassadorial roles for the British government, and though the family traveled along with him, they always returned to the manor house for holidays and rest. It was the one place they felt they could truly relax and refresh their spirits. It was also a place for their beloved butler, Edmund Jameson, to finally feel his way around a properly organized household. Nothing, he told them quite often, is as satisfying as seeing everything in its place and order restored to the soul. Jameson traveled with the Grobans wherever Lord Errol served as ambassador, and he kept not only the household in order, but also served as nanny, mentor, and at times disciplinarian to the three Groban children. Wallace and Connor gave him a good run for his money some days, as the two were constantly trying every new experiment or stunt they could to see if they were as invincible as young adolescents often think they are. But Jameson seemed to be the rock on which the family was built and the glue that kept them bound together. He had not one but several pairs of eyes in the back of his head, and try as they might to get things past him, Jameson always knew what his young charges were up to. Wallace and Connor reveled in the travel and opportunities they were afforded. Tutors were always coming and going throughout the children's lives, and each new home or country they lived in was a canvas for their global experience. As their father took up the position of ambassador to Egypt in the late 1990s, Wallace and Connor were more than ready to explore tombs and scale pyramids. Alexandria, however, seemed to eerily make instant connections to each new foreign land they found themselves in. She would occasionally see an artifact or a painting, and her brothers could tell from the gleam in her eyes that she was hearing the echo, as that was what the two of them called it. For Alex, her remembrances and the emotions she experienced were all-encompassing and took her completely to another time. She would cease to see what was actually around her and find herself standing amid a world that had long since passed by and been forgotten. Alex never knew where the visions would take her, and she sometimes found herself standing in the midst of a very frightening scene of some past battle, or she might find that she was witnessing the last moments of a person's life. At other times, she was simply a silent witness to a person's day-to-day routine, almost seeing the people walk right through where she stood as she watched the scene play out. Wallace and Connor knew the look well and made a deliberate point to circle the wagons and protect her until the vision cleared. When she was very young, Alexandria would actually talk her way through the visions and describe what she was seeing, alarmingly in whatever language the scene played out in. But as she grew older, she learned that this terrified anyone outside of her immediate family, and she became aware of the danger she placed them in when she allowed outsiders knowledge of the images even her mind could scarcely comprehend. So Alexandria quickly learned to attune herself to the first signs of an impending recreation of the past and steel herself against any reaction within sight of possible witnesses. She would feel slight vibrations in the air and begin to smell and taste the new environment that was bearing down on her. She had learned to school her face into as serene a mask as she could muster and then allow herself to be pulled away. It was not easy for her parents, her brothers, or for Jameson to see her suffer, and in an effort to protect them, she often would keep the most horrific details to herself. As she grew older, she began to keep more and more of the experiences to herself. much to the disapproval of her brothers. They honestly thought it was not productive or healthy for Alexandria to keep it all bottled up within. While in Egypt, Alexandria found she had to keep her hands in her pockets quite a bit, because touching an object was sure to swirl her into the past, seeing into various images and scenes from the object's history. While Wallace and Connor were always touching obelisks and stone passageways, Alexandria would try to walk around the stones, marvel at their size, and then step quietly into alcoves to witness history in her own way. Though this seemed the best way to avoid the encounter she experienced, she was dismayed to find that she really could not keep the old voices at bay. It was on a hot, humid night there in Egypt that Alexandria, then only 8, learned her life would take a drastically different path than the one she thought lay before her. She was lying in her bed, reading the Chronicles of Narnia, when she noticed the air off to the left side of her bed begin to shimmer. She felt the familiar tightening in her chest and shortness of breath that came when she knew her world was about to shift. Not taking her eyes off of the air, she carefully laid her book down on the bed and placed her hands on either side of her so that she could push herself into the upright position slowly. When she was 2 or 3, she would have called for Wallace and Connor, even her parents, but not anymore. She tensed all over and tried to ready herself. A soft hush came over the room. Alexandria could not hear the sounds on the street near the house her family rented, nor could she hear the clock ticking on her bedside table anymore. Her heart sounded loud enough in her ears to wake anyone in the house, but she knew no one else could hear her distress. The air seemed to move in waves now around the room, almost as if it were water moving along a shoreline. It was not moving any objects around the room, only congealing and coalescing into something far thicker than air should be. Alexandria had never seen the atmosphere become so charged and wondered if it would feel any different to touch. Hesitantly, she reached out her left arm and let her fingers skim the edge of the nearest swirl. Instantly, her body was thrown back on the bed, and she found that in her mind she was no longer on the bed, but standing on a beach, looking up at the sky filled with stars. She drew in a long, shaky breath and saw it puff out in front of her face as she exhaled. Turning completely around, Alexandria beheld no lights from civilization in any direction, the sound of the waves lapping and night birds competing to be heard over a den of insects were the only ones her ears could detect. Rather than just wait to see what was coming, she felt compelled to speak. "Hello?" she called out tentatively, wary of how shaky and magnified her voice sounded. Though she perceived no new sound, Alexandria knew without a doubt that if she turned around again, she would see someone standing right behind her. "Don't be a coward," she thought to herself. "Just turn around and face this." To her surprise, a warm, melodious laugh filled the air around her, stripping away her fear. The laugh manifested itself into a voice that instantly reassured and welcomed her. "Oh, Alexandria, you have never been, nor will you ever be, a coward," said a man's voice. She turned and found herself staring up into eyes so vivid and blue that they almost seemed clear. A face of perfection smiled down at her with distinct dimples and curly locks of golden hair. "Quite the contrary, my dear," he said. "You are more powerful and formidable than any warrior who has ever lived. I do not think that your character would ever allow you to run from any challenge you encounter. You are, in the simplest of terms, extraordinary." Alexandria was stunned, and after opening and closing her mouth several times, she could not help but speak the thoughts that were burning their way through her mind. "You can see me? And you can hear my thoughts? But how? No one has ever noticed me before." "Well," chuckled the stranger, "I sincerely doubt that anyone has ever failed to notice you. I am quite certain that you are frequently noticed and the topic of much discussion." At this last comment, Alexandria's cheeks flamed scarlet, and she lowered her eyes. She knew that people whispered about her constantly, and she noticed complete strangers openly gawking at her far too frequently for her own sense of comfort. She knew that she had nothing to be embarrassed about, but she still felt tears prickling her eyes despite her desire to keep them at bay. The golden man stepped forward and placed a finger delicately under her chin, then ever so gently raised her young wounded eyes up to meet his. In a voice that seemed barely above a whisper, he said, "No, no, sweet child. I am not making fun of you in any way. If my words seem too sharp, I most humbly apologize. You must know that most people find you to be such an enchanting and beautiful child that they are in awe just a bit. But I do not think that they find you lacking in any way." "Thank you, sir," Alexandria breathed out as she cleared her throat. "Let's sit for a while, shall we?" the stranger asked. and when she nodded her agreement, the two walked over to a large piece of driftwood that lay beached on its side. At first, Alexandria looked to the stars for some small reassurance that there was still something familiar and known about the place she now found herself in, but beyond that, she could not stop herself from turning to concentrate completely on the gentleman at her side. She had been taught again and again not to talk to strangers, and she certainly knew that she was never to leave with an unknown adult. But she wondered if those same rules of safety that her parents and brothers had drilled into her time and time again applied in a world apart from her own. She had never had reason to consider it before that night. The golden-haired man was also looking up at the stars, but a slow smile spread across his face. "Alexandria, I can promise you on my life and all that I hold dear that you are in no danger from me. Not on this night, nor on any other." He slowly turned his head down to gaze at her, and she knew within her very core that this man would never harm a hair on her head. She was very safe, and though she could not explain it, she even felt love emanating from him. "I forgot that you can hear my thoughts," she said, scrunching up her nose and shaking her head at him. She asked, "How are you doing that?" He laughed, and the sound pealed gently across the air between them. "You can do it too, you know. I'm surprised that you have not started reading my thoughts to find out the answers to all of those questions racing around in that little head of yours. Why don't you give it a try? See if you can tell me my name, little one," he encouraged her. "You're joking, right? I cannot really read your mind," scoffed Alexandria. "Oh yes, my dear, you most certainly can. It is a talent not easily mastered, but one that I think you will find comes with relative ease to you. Go on, concentrate. What is my name?" he pressed gently. Alexandria slowly pulled the salty air into her lungs and stared into the man's warm eyes. She began to hear and feel a pulsing within her own ears, and at first she thought it was her own heartbeat echoing too loudly, but then she became aware of the difference in the new pulse from her own. She was hearing his heartbeat and feeling the rhythm. Her breath began to keep time with his body's current, and she started to feel pulled in by that flow. She could sense the fact that he was slightly hungry, and that the hairs on his arms were beginning to rise. She knew that his left ear itched and that he wanted to scratch it, but he dared not lest he interrupt her concentration. His eyes seemed to urge her onward, and she felt her mind reach out like a slowly twirling ribbon. It gradually snaked away from her, and it found a similar ribbon of thoughts within him that hers could travel along. She gasped as her stream of consciousness began to flow along his. She saw him walking with a billowing robe and sandals on along a road that looked quite ancient, pausing to look back at her, his hand outstretched. Then she caught a glimpse of him by a doorway to a small thatched home in a lush, wooded area beckoning her inside. Finally, she heard a woman's voice call out to him that their evening meal was prepared and laugh as he scooped her up for a kiss. She whispered, "Ganymede," as he held her. Alexandria pulled back and shock flooded her system. She was panting as if she had just run a race with Wallace and Connor, but the man was still smiling down at her with no sign of exertion whatsoever. "You're Ganymede?" Alexandria asked, almost reverently. She reached up to push her long golden hair out of her eyes. He slowly nodded his agreement. "Very good, Alexandria. I am indeed Ganymede, and I must say that I am quite impressed. You took a very direct route to ferret out the information you needed. You did not waver, only traveled along a memory strand of mine until you ended with what you sought. In fact, you accomplished that little task so quickly it makes me wonder." "Wonder what?" asked Alexandria pensively. "Wonder why you have not tried that before," replied Ganymede. "Have you never once taken a peek inside someone's thoughts to hear what they were contemplating? Never once been tempted?" Alexandria would have thought he was joking had she not just plucked information directly from his mind and felt the accompanying sensations of capturing that information. "No, sir," she said, shaking her head to confirm her innocence. "I've never even known that any of this was possible." He tilted his head to the side and furrowed his brow at her. "Any of what, dear one?" he asked. "Any of what's been happening tonight," breathed Alexandria. "I have never talked to anyone in any scene from the past I've been trapped in, and I have never, ever listened in on someone's thoughts. That would be wrong, wouldn't it?" asked Alexandria, not knowing if she was giving him the answer that he sought, but hoping that the truth was the correct path to take with Ganymede. And for just a moment she saw a twinge of sadness in his eyes as he refocused on her face. "I'm sorry that the remembrances make you feel trapped, Alexandria, although now that I think of it from your perspective, I'm sure that you have been very afraid on occasion, haven't you?" As he asked this, he reached out one hand to offer her his open palm. She laid her hand in his and felt warmth spreading quickly from his hand into her arm, then chest, and before she could draw another breath, the feeling had spread to her toes. Her eyes widened at the sudden contentment she felt. "Thank you for letting me comfort you, little one. I know that this is a most unusual night for you," he said, letting his eyes roam over her face. Alexandria slowly took her hand from his, and feeling less alone in all the madness she had experienced in her short years, she asked, "Are you my guardian angel, then?" Ganymede chuckled. "Something like that, Alexandria. Something very much like that, indeed." He looked at her with the same love and sadness that she sometimes glimpsed in her own parents' eyes when they did not realize that she was watching them talk about her. Though they cherished their daughter, they were uncertain of her future in the world, and they worked diligently to shield her as much as possible. Alexandria had become so accustomed to holding everything in, she was actually eager to continue her conversation with Ganymede, even if he was just a figment of her imagination. Funny, she thought, that the one person who would understand was someone that only she could see. "Are you here to help me with the things that I see?" she asked, praying that he could relieve the fear and anxiety she lived with each moment of each and every day. Ganymede looked back up to the stars as if they would give him the right answer. "Yes, Alexandria, I'm here to help you, though not in the way you mean. I can give you a choice tonight, and you must think long and hard before you make it, my dear." "A choice?" She held her breath, afraid to wish for the impossible. But Ganymede could read her silent pleas, and again she noted the twinge of sadness in his eyes as he looked at her. "Yes," he breathed out as if it cost him something to speak these words to her. "You can choose to be just as you are today, a young girl, maturing, who will continue to learn and grow into the abilities that are meant just for you, or you can choose to put those gifts to the side for a time and live without them." At first, all Alexandria heard was that she could lay down the burden of seeing into the past and be like her brothers, untroubled and carefree. She could go to a real school with other children and not have tutors keeping her sheltered at home. Her parents would not have to worry about when and where she would lose her focus and try to explain the odd occurrence away as seizures or epilepsy. "Normal," she thought to herself. "I could just be a normal kid." But slowly, the latter part of Ganymede's offer filtered into her thoughts. "For a time," he had said. Rather than speak aloud, Alexandria simply thought her question while pointedly looking into Ganymede's eyes. "If I take a break from all of this, when do I have to start again? Will I have a choice, or will it suddenly hit me when I'm in a school surrounded by other children, or a public place with people all around?" she asked him within her mind. Ganymede shook his head and said, "You will never have to do anything that you do not want to do, Alexandria. But taking away a vital part of who you are does not come easily, and it can only be held at bay for so long. Imagine for a moment that I told you I was going to take away Wallace's mischievousness or Connor's inquisitiveness, their exuberance for life. Can you picture the lads they would be without those traits?" The thought of her brothers altered thus made Alexandria shiver. She knew that without those qualities, both boys would have the light within dimmed to a point that she would not know them as her brothers anymore. "No," she spoke sadly aloud. "And I would be that different, too, if I could not see into the past or look inside people's thoughts?" "Yes," Ganymede shook his head. "You would seem very different to your family. Not so different that they would not love you or care for you, but they would always wonder what had changed and how that change had come about. But even their fears could be laid aside for a time if you so choose to have a respite from all that you are currently enduring. You would be letting part of you lay dormant for a time, but it would always be within because your abilities are truly part of who you are, Alexandria," Ganymede said gently, as he reached forward and tucked a loose lock of hair behind her ear. "Is it bad to say I want to stop, even if only for a day?" she asked him, hoping that her question was not making him think less of her or disappointing him. She thought it odd that she wanted to please Ganymede so, having just met him, but she really did want to make him happy. And at that thought, he smiled widely at her with an internal light she could feel vibrating all around her. "As I should have told you before, you cannot disappoint me. I am very proud of you, Alexandria, and I know your answer now as well. You shall have a nice little rest from all the voices and faces that intrude upon your days until you are a little older and more prepared for what is to come, and more mature for a choice that you will be called upon to make. I must admit, though, that I am worried the time spent away from who you are will make it all the more difficult on you in the future, but I'm willing to concede that you need a break, for now at least. Will you decide when my abilities come back, or is that for me to choose?" asked Alexandria, hardly believing that this could be happening to her. "That will be for both of us to decide in time. I will be watching and waiting until you are ready to begin again." Ganymede reached out a hand and gently stroked her hair. "Will I see you again?" she silently wondered, as a feeling of lethargy and tiredness spread through her limbs. Indeed, my sweet Alexandria, we will meet again, but I think that I have tired you out enough for this evening, and I would be remiss if I kept you away from your home much longer. Close your eyes now and sleep, little one. And though sleep was pulling her under quite forcefully, Alexandria tried to keep her eyes open. She had so many questions that she had somehow not been able to voice. But her eyelids betrayed her, and sleep came on quickly. The last thing she could make out was the sound of the waves breaking along the shore, and when she moved her hand out beside her, she felt the smoothness of her bedding under her fingertips. Alexandria sat up and looked around her bedroom. It looked the same as always. Her lamp was still burning brightly, and her novel remained face down on the bed beside her. Only the gauzy curtains moving with a slight breeze made the room feel animated by something unseen. Unexpectedly, the door to her room opened, and her eldest brother Wallace stuck his head in. "Hey, you okay in here? I thought I heard you talking to someone," he said, letting his eyes roam around the room to make sure she was alone and safe. Alexandria tentatively stretched her legs out and smiled. "Yeah, Wallace, I'm good," she said shakily. "I just had a strange dream, that's all." He angled his head to the side, studying her more intently now, and then walked over to the side of her bed and sat down. "Want to talk about it?" he asked, hoping to tease some information out of her. It had become much more difficult for Wallace or Connor to get details from Alexandria in the last few years, and though he was 10 years her senior, he usually could not browbeat anything from her once she had decided to close down. But to his surprise, she nodded. "Wallace, I know you won't believe anything I'm about to say, but I think I'm free," said Alexandria, as she raised a shaky hand to push her hair out of her eyes. She gave him a smile that lit up her entire face, and he saw such a trusting look of joy in her eyes that he dared not make fun of her statement. "Well, I think I need a little more information to go on there, kiddo. Free in what way?" he asked. "Free of everything," cried Alexandria. "I visited with someone tonight who gave me a way out of seeing into the past all of the time, and I can be just like you and Connor now," she gushed. Try as he might to follow her train of thought, Wallace seized on the one bit of information that any big brother would. "What exactly do you mean when you say you visited with someone? Would that be a male someone, and how did he get in here?" Wallace could feel himself tensing up and was ready to walk over to the windows to test the latches, but Alexandria stayed that action by reaching over and holding his hand. "Wallace, look at me," she said quietly. Just as Ganymede had predicted, her family would question the change and be alarmed. Her mind raced feverishly to find the words that would both calm and reassure her brother that all was well, and would hopefully continue to be so for the foreseeable future. "What I'm telling you is true. I had a, well, I guess you could call it another vision. I was here the whole time, but somehow I went somewhere else." Wallace's face indicated that he was trying to believe her, but having a hard time. "I met someone who I think is my guardian angel. He promised that for a while I can just be a normal kid. No echoes, no memories from another time or place, just a chance to be, well, me. I know it doesn't sound real, but truthfully, has anything with me ever sounded real to you?" She smiled tentatively, hoping that Wallace would sense the faith and happiness she felt through her words. Wallace let out a long, slow breath and shook his head. Then he started to chuckle. "Well, if you put it that way, I'll concede that you saw someone that I couldn't have. Heck, Squirt, if you say he was here, I'll back you all the way. He really told you you have an escape clause from everything?" Wallace sounded as though he still needed a bit more to go on, but Alexandria simply nodded her head. Her smile said it all, and he exhaled as he nodded. Wallace shifted his weight and stood beside Alex's bed. He reached over and smoothed her hair off of her forehead, then leaned in to give her a goodnight kiss. When he straightened, he had his usual lopsided, mischievous grin in place. He walked over to the door of Alexandria's bedroom and paused at the threshold before leaving. Alexandria knew that he had something he wanted to say, and she giggled inside as she waited for one of her brother's quirky or witty quips. But instead, he looked around the room one last time, then back at her before saying, "I love you, Alexandria, all of you. Remember that, okay, kiddo?" "I will, I promise," said Alexandria, smiling up at him. The door closed after Wallace, and Alex settled back on her pillows for what she hoped would be uneventful dreams and slumber.